Esto es 18.
Va inis dar salegi a mani.
This is 18.
E abu itzi.
Uhad hu 18.
This is 18.
This is 18 is a new project from the New York Times that explores the question of what it means to be 18 from the point of view of 18-year-old young women all around the world. It's a moment that's pivotal in life for all of us. In the U.S., 18 marks the beginning of civic responsibility. Now you can vote. In the U.K., China, and parts of Canada, it means you can get into bars. In Israel, it means a mandatory draft into the military. By 18, 1 in 5 women across the globe will be married. In this series, New York Times photo editor sought out 22 young women photographers in countries from Mexico to Nigeria. So it's part photography project and part documentary. Each young photographer was assigned a mentor and coached as they documented the lives of these other young women. And the result is a moving portrait of what it means to be 18 years old around the world today. I spoke with Sandra Stevenson more about it. She was the project's picture editor. She said they used their network of photographers they know around the world to find the young women who would take part in this project and then asked them to track down their subjects, other young women who are 18 or would turn 18 this year.
We also asked them to look for diversity in the people that they were meeting. Diversity meaning diversity, of course, within their own community. It could be ethnically, also socioeconomically. And remarkably, all of these women came up with, each of them came up with 3 young women that were really quite diverse, both in their interests, you know, where they were from, what type of family they came from.
Yeah. So you selected the photographers and then also selected the subjects. I want to talk about both of those groups of young women. So start with the photographers. Tell us about a few of these young women and where they're from and how prepared they were for this, I guess.
Well, you would have to ask the young women themselves how prepared they felt, but I personally felt like they were remarkable. You know, they really did come from varying backgrounds. One young woman was a refugee from Sudan, and her family relocated to Kenya. And, you know, she participated in the project and did a really wonderful job. And, you know, even if I had to ask, could you please go back and shoot a little bit more, you know, they were so willing and so eager to get it right.
Yeah.
I'm sure that's partially because, you know, they felt a little bit of pressure. But that was also why we wanted to have the mentors there, so that if they did feel that pressure, they had somebody to turn to. Another young woman was from Korea, and she really, really went the extra mile by, you know, following her subject who was interested in body painting. The young woman from Mexico, Jessie, was fabulous. She really turned it into a documentary about this young woman's life in Mexico. Yasmin in Mississippi also, you know, she actually shot hers on an iPhone, and it was fantastic. And it also, you know, in these young women covering their peers, they seem to have also learned something not only about themselves, but also something about their own community, which I thought was interesting. Some of the young women, the photographers and the subjects, were also going through, you know, some personal difficult times or some personal struggles. And I, you know, that I also found interesting in how they were able to, how the families and of the subjects and the subjects themselves were so willing to allow their peers to capture happy moments and at times sad moments. You know, the young woman in Iran lost her grandmother during the shoot, and she allowed, you know, the photographer to spend time with her and her family while they were grieving, which was, you know, totally, to me, totally moving. The fact that she felt comfortable enough with her photographer to allow her to be there was really remarkable. It says a lot about the subjects and a lot about the photographers.
Yeah. So I wonder, Sandra, why go about it this way? Like, why not send a professional photographer to document the lives of 18-year-olds all over the world? You, I'm sure, could have done that.
Yes, that would have been the easier route. However, I truly believe, and I think my colleagues on the team believed, that we probably would have never been able to have some of these moments that really showed an 18-year-old being 18. I'm not sure that Liana in Iran would have felt comfortable having an adult there photographing her. I'm not sure that Victory in Nigeria would have been so free to allow an adult into their room, which to me is a very personal thing. And also it was really important for us to allow young women to have a voice. And the only way to allow these young women to have their voice, whether it's through photography or, you know, through the interviews of their subjects, is to have them be empowered to do it.
Yeah.
You know, I think too many times, the Times included, the New York Times included, you know, lots of news organizations, it's usually a story told through the eyes of an adult who may be close to age to their subject or not so close in age. But I think we all agree that we were not convinced that we would have had the candor and the openness if it had been an older person photographing them.
Yeah. And there's the community aspect of that as well, like you mentioned, right? Like that these were opportunities for these young women photographers to document other young women, but also to tell the stories of their own communities.
Yes, which is extremely important, which, you know, we don't always get, you know, in mainstream media. And any opportunity for a particular community to have their stories told in their voice, I think, is really important.
Yeah. I want to talk about what this perspective and using this perspective might have revealed then. Like, you've mentioned the diversity of the young women involved in this project on both sides of the lens, right? And you looked at 18-year-olds all over the globe. But at the same time, do you think that there were some universals here, that there were some similarities that really shone through?
I think the similarities, one thing that I did notice, they really all like Ariana Grande, which I was a little surprised, but I guess I shouldn't be surprised. There were quite a few pictures where, you know, the caption said, and she's listening to Ariana Grande with her girlfriends, or singing Ariana Grande, you know, on her mobile phone. It was really, to me, that was really hilarious. They all seem to struggle with the same thing of feeling like adults don't hear them and adults sort of dismiss them because they're sort of in this in-between age. I think Helene in California, if I'm not mistaken, talked about this beautiful gray spot that they're in. And I think they all sort of feel like this beautiful gray spot, but they all sort of feel that older people maybe not take them seriously or maybe not necessarily want to hear what they have to say. And I think that also empowering them to have a voice was really important to them. Far more important, I think, than they even realized until we went through the process and they were able to see the final product.
Sandra Stevenson is an assistant editor in the photography department with the New York Times. Sandra, thank you so much for coming on the show.
Thank you. Thank you for your time.